and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your show host, Heidi. Unfortunately, I am not joined by the wonderful Ariane, which I am very sad about, and I will greatly miss her. But we will be carrying on anyway with some fun, some sort of sad social media news stories. Also kind of weird. There are some weird ones in here. But anyway, I'm just going to get this one out of the way. I'm going to talk about my sad social media news story and then just go on to the other ones because it saddens me to talk about this one. All right, so the first story takes place in Las Vegas, and it is about a nail salon owner. So what happened is a woman who is a 51-year-old Vietnamese refugee who had raised her daughters in the U.S., was a hardworking mother and grandmother, and who, I believe, co-owned a nail salon in Las Vegas. She was killed on December 29th outside her nail salon when she tried to stop a fleeing customer, which... this is so sad because it was for a $35 manicure. This happened over $35. This is so sad. People are, this woman who did this is terrible. Okay, so what happened is this customer, who is a woman who has not yet been identified and remains at large, so she's out there. She hit this manicurist, whose last name is Nguyen, and she hit her with a stolen rental car and then fled the scene. So Nguyen died of blunt force injuries, and her death was ruled as a homicide, and the altercation unfolded Saturday afternoon after the suspect sat for a $35 manicure at the salon. The customer tried to pay with a credit card, but the card was declined multiple times. Then the customer, told Nguyen that she would retrieve the money from her car. Then Nguyen followed the woman outside, and Nguyen and her longtime partner, who I also believed owns the salon, they both went outside to follow the woman. And when they approached the car and tried to get the driver's attention, I assume they were trying to get the driver's attention to be like, don't drive away, you have to pay us, which seems very reasonable. So they approached the car, tried to get her attention, and then the driver, who's the customer who didn't pay, hit Nguyen and dragged her before fleeing the parking lot. And this also apparently happened at a nail salon kind of near the Vegas Strip. This is so sad because, like, it's near the Vegas Strip. So there were witnesses there, and witnesses said it all happened within, like, a matter of seconds, which is also just terrifying. And it's also terrifying because this happened, like, Nguyen died, and it occurred, like, in front of her, like, partner. I don't know if this is, like, her boyfriend or husband, but it occurred in front of him. And he's quoted saying he tried to stop the car, but he's not, like, Superman. Like, he couldn't push the car away, you know? And he said, like, for $35, she got killed. Like you took it for $35. And it was heartbreaking. A fundraising page has been created by the family to help pay for the funeral costs. The page describes Nguyen as an extremely hardworking and wonderful woman who was a great, dutiful mother and always put her children first. She had, as I had said, she was a Vietnamese refugee. She had lived in so many different parts of the country and Just this, that she would do anything to put food on the table, anything to support her daughters. It's so sad. The police are investigating the death, and they said on Wednesday morning that there was no additional information on the case. So the suspect is still at large. It sounds like they found the car, but it was a stolen rental car, and they don't believe the original renter was the one who committed this act. So it looks like she fled. She left the car somewhere and left. And I mean, it's so sad. I feel really bad for the family. And hopefully the page can generate enough funds for the funeral and hopefully for the family as well. And just that the suspect can be found, because she should not be on the loose. She sounds like she's probably crazy. So, so I really hope that the police can track her down. And my heart really goes out to her family and to the whole nail salon. It sounds like the nail salon has closed, not like permanently, but they have stopped business during just through the storm of all of this that's going on, which I don't blame them. So that was the sad story that I wanted to share, and I'm glad it's out of the way, because I just can't keep sharing stories like this. They break my heart. So we're going on to our next story, and this is very social media-y because it has to do with Instagram. And so with the new year coming up, with the new year that has arrived, you can, like, on Instagram, you can show, like, your pictures from 2018 and the things that were the most liked and whatnot. You can also apparently track the colors of your 2018 Instagram photos with a new app, which sounds cool. It looks like a big color collage, and this sounds really cool. I'm surprised I haven't seen it more on Instagram, to be honest, because I've seen a lot of the, like, showing like your 2018 photos, which makes sense with Instagram, but I am surprised I haven't seen more of this color thing because I think it looks cool. I might have to do it. It will share your top because Instagram already shares your top like 9 most popular photos, you can look back on the colors as well. And this web app creates a mosaic out of all of the colors in your Instagram photos. The app, which is called Year of Color, takes your snapshots of events and moments, and then it distills them into an abstract kind of like time capsule of like colored dots, basically. It was created by Steph Lewandowski, who is a venture builder based in London. And he built the web app in his spare time after being inspired by his wife, Emily Quinton. Emily runs a company called MakeLight that, among other things, helps people improve their Instagram presence, basically to like get more people to like follow the Instagram person, whoever that is. And Lewandowski said that if you look consistent and there's good quality, people will press the button. They'll press the follow button. So it sounds like they're kind of in the biz of Instagram and social media, so they know what they're doing. And he was inspired by all these people, you know, who do so many different Instagram things, which I'd imagine if, you know, your partner is in that business, you just kind of see this social media all the time. And it really, like, it just takes all of the colors. It makes this big color palette of all the things that you were sharing on Instagram. To use this web app, you can go to the website yearofcolor.com, no spaces, no caps, and then you have to log in with your Instagram account. Lewandowski has promised that, you know, he's not going to steal your password. They have a pretty good privacy policy, apparently, that's up on their website, if you want to read that before you sign in to your Instagram account on their website. Also, this app only works with your Instagram account, so you can't like go in and be like, what are the colors of, I don't know, Kanye West's Instagram? Like, you can't do that. You can only do it for yours, which does make sense for privacy issues for everyone. But Lewandowski says he wishes that people could do it for, you know, other Instagram users, and I think that would be cool. So to use this, you pick a time frame, and then the app will sort through your most liked Instagram posts, and then it basically just like spits out a data visualization of the colors in your top 100. And the app reduces each image into between 6 and 9 colors, and it creates a pattern of dots that vary in size based on how much of a given color is in an image and how much your followers like it. Due to rules implemented by Instagram, again, you can't use it for like Kim Kardashian's palette, which I feel like would be a lot of pink, but I think it'd be cool. And like, for example, your most liked post was maybe like an orange sunset. The app would spit out like a color palette of like a big orange dot. And it's really like a combination of like attention and content all put into these colored dots, which I think sounds pretty cool. Also, there are a handful of sliders and dials that let you tweak how your report looks, and you can limit the number of dots based on popularity, or like filter out the dull, non-vibrant colors. Like maybe a lot of the dots come out brown and you don't like brown, so you could filter those out. Also, other buttons can pull the brightest dots to the center or organize the circles by when the photos were taken, like bring like January 2018 to the center, and then the circles, you know, go out until radiate out to like December 2018, you know. And it can look really good. I have seen some images. I really like it. Also, the founder Lewandowski hopes that soon people can purchase prints of these dots and colors. And really, I think it looks cool. Also, apparently, you can press a playthrough button, and then you can see how the colors have changed across your year, which is just sort of like an abstract like slideshow of your like Instagram moments of 2018. So I think it sounds pretty cool. I'm probably going to try it this weekend. Yeah, I think it looks good. So also good for Lewandowski and his family. I think that's a great idea, and I think that's super cool that he found it and put it out there for everyone to use. So good for him. We're going to take a break, and then we will come right back and keep talking about more social media news.
Always on the go, but the day just won't be one without your Hollywood fix. Let Golden State Media Concepts Entertainment Podcast take care of that. An all-inclusive look of pop culture.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing to talk about some social media news stories, and it would not be a social media news episode without mentioning the Kardashians. So here comes your Kardashian dose for this episode. We are specifically talking about Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, so the Wests, and they are expecting their fourth child. This fourth child will be born via surrogate, like their third child was, and the baby is on the way. It will be joining siblings Chicago, who is 1 this month, Saint, who is 3, and North, who is like 5.5. Kim Kardashian West has made it clear that she loves being a mother, and she talked about this in Keeping Up with the Kardashians and whatnot. But a Keeping Up with the Kardashians source has said that Kim and Kanye West weren't in a huge rush to give their three children another sibling. But as I said before, Kim has talked about how much she enjoys being a mother. So I am really not that surprised, although 4 children is a lot of children, in my opinion. But I'm not from a big family, so who knows? Maybe like 5 is your normal. Also, Kim has been very open over the years about her struggles to get pregnant and has documented the process on her show, Keeping Up with the Kardashians. And while pregnant with North, I believe, Kim Kardashian West suffered from preeclampsia, which is a complication characterized by high blood pressure. She also had placenta accreta in both her pregnancies, so with her 2 eldest children, And this occurs when the placenta attaches too deeply into the uterine wall. And she has written about this, and I've read some of the things she wrote about, and it was really gross. And I get a little scared, basically, when people talk about pregnancy. So I read this and got like really creeped out and frightened. But basically, the placenta attached too deeply into her uterine wall. And when this happens, it's not going to detach after birth, which is what normally happens. And the doctor realized this and had to remove it manually. And basically, she said that meant that he had to stick his hand up into her body and dig it out with his fingernails, which she said was extremely painful and also gross. And she said that she had a second epidural to deal with this, but because they were like, and it was like in a crunch for time, that really it didn't, the epidural didn't like help a super bunch. She just had to like deal with it because they had like had to do it immediately. And this can be a condition that can kill women in childbirth. And so she said that she's really grateful that her doctors realized this was going on when it happened. And she had that in both of her pregnancies. So she said that her labor wasn't that bad, but that that part was really terrible. And that just sounds awful. And I understand why she wouldn't want to have other children. She wouldn't want to be pregnant after this incident. Also, it is not medically safe for her to deliver a baby, so I understand. She said that following the birth of Saint, she was prepared to have her uterus removed, but she didn't have to undergo surgery, and then later opted to expand her family via surrogate, since, again, she can't deliver a baby. So I think that's really interesting, and I think it's really good that she has come out to talk about this issue that affects other women and bring it to light and bring it to people's attention and, you know, make other women feel not alone if they have the same thing. But I also have seen comments on social media talking about how, like, you basically have to be really rich to pay for a surrogate. So, I mean, true, she is really rich. And so if she wants to expand her family that way, then I would say go for it. And yeah, I don't know. I don't think anyone should like hate on Kim Kardashian for making this choice. She wants to be a mom, and I haven't seen anything yet that has proven to me that she's a bad mom. So, I mean, I'm sure the internet would try to prove me wrong, but you know, that's just the nature of the internet. Anyway, Kim Kardashian has also said that she enjoyed the surrogacy process and, kind of like it was, a way that she felt was like a game changer. And like after the delivery and birth of her third child who was born via surrogate, she felt like the process, you know, like it gave time for the other siblings to get used to their third sibling. And she just felt like it was a good process. She will be having the fourth child with the same surrogate who gave birth to their third child. So she likes this woman. And it sounds like she really appreciated the process and appreciated being able to have a child this way. And she said that it allows her to spend time with the kids and everything, because she's not physically, she doesn't feel physically inhibited in any way. So I guess more power to her in that way. So that's good for her. Also, I looked into this a little bit, and I believe her and Kanye West are doing having a gestational surrogate, which just a surrogate is not as common anymore. And that is when the surrogate mother is biologically related to the baby. And a gestational surrogate is when the mother is not genetically related to the baby. She just carries the baby. But it would be like an in vitro fertilization process where the parents who are paying for the surrogate, their sperm and egg are combined in a lab, and then that is that fertilized egg is then put into the surrogate mother, again via in vitro fertilization, and then that woman carries the baby and delivers the baby for the couple. And again, she's not genetically related to the child. So that has been more common, and it is a growing trend. I believe there's another celebrity couple that I read about, like Juliana and Bill, who also had a child via gestational surrogacy. So I don't know. It's interesting. It was interesting to read about. I have basically decided that I would not do that if I couldn't have children. But I don't know. I think it's interesting, and it's interesting to learn about. Also, I don't think there should be any shame on the Wests for choosing to have a child this way if they want to have a kid. And Kim can't physically deliver a baby. She can pay for this, and it's not like she can't, you know, like, afford to have another child or raise another child. It doesn't seem like they're, like, unfit parents. Despite all the things we say about Kanye, I don't think Kim is an unfit mother. So I think that's good for her if she wants to be a mother in that way. So congratulations to them on their fourth child. And also, I don't believe they've released the gender yet. So we'll see. Another story that I want to bring to your attention is one that... This is so weird. It's like another Lindsay Lohan story, which still confuses me about why Lindsay Lohan is still in the news. And she does pop up on social media. I mean, when she was like partying on the Greek islands, that was a pretty funny video. But I'm just, it boggles my mind that she is still considered famous and popular. Now, I don't mean like she's not talented. I'm just like surprised is all, because I haven't seen her in anything new in a while. Granted, I've probably rewatched the classic Mean Girls many a time, so I have seen her recently, but not in anything that is a new work. So this story, as I said, is about Lindsay Lohan, and it is about some backlash over an Instagram post which she put up recently. Recently, she had to take down, she didn't have to take it down. But on Thursday morning, she shared a black and white photo on Instagram from her 2011 Marilyn Monroe inspired photo shoot for Playboy. And the photo shows her posing completely nude while crawling on a lip shaped couch. And many people on social media have praised her for how great she looks in the photo. But then other people, and this is what I did not know, this was news to me, other people have like had complaint about this, reminding her of her 2016 claims that she wanted to convert to Islam and the multiple times she has been seen wearing a hijab in public. And the reason this is a cause for people getting frustrated is because commenters wanted to make note that Lindsay Lohan posing nude would be directly against her religion if she were indeed Muslim. And also her Instagram bio says, Salah alaikum. I'm probably saying that wrong. I apologize. But her, so she does have this quote on, she does have this phrase on her Instagram. Also, there have been photos of her in a hijab before, and she has claimed that she wanted to convert to Islam. And that's what is making so many people upset. Upset because it goes against the religion she's claiming to want to join. And I mean, it is a good looking photo of her. And I think it's an interesting, like, I don't really know why she posted it, if it was just like a throwback photo. I guess it was probably like a throwback Thursday photo. But I don't know. The comment war, of course, has exploded because that's just what happens for so many things on the internet. But anyway, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to keep talking about this Lindsay Lohan Instagram controversy. So hang on.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Social Media News Podcast. We are continuing our story that we started before the break, and this is about Lindsay Lohan, who has been getting backlash on Instagram about a nude photo she posted, and the backlash was because she said she was converting to Islam, and posting a nude photo would go against her claimed religion. So many of the commenters online that were upset about this photo, many of them, like one of them said, if you really read the Quran from the paparazzi photo, I guess you would respect Islam. But please at least show some respect by deleting the salam in your bio. Please show some respect. Another one said, a very unfortunate picture. I thought you were far from these acts because I think you are a Muslim. Another one said, what's the point of converting to Islam? I know many Muslims do such things too, but when you convert, it's because you appreciate and choose to follow the teachings. So basically, many people were expressing that this goes against the religion and that it's very hypocritical of her if she is indeed Muslim, or if she did, and if she did convert. There were some comments that supported Lindsay Lohan, saying that she should be free to post whatever she wants and be any religion that she wants. And, I don't know. I don't know where I stand on this. I don't really have a stance. I don't really care what Lindsay Lohan does. I'm surprised. It always surprises me that so many people care so much about what people post on Instagram. Because I feel like, I mean, maybe politics is different, but like this particular thing with like Lindsay Lohan, I don't really think matters. Anyway, apparently Lindsay Lohan has a new reality show called Lindsay Lohan's Beach Club, which is set to premiere on MTV on January 8th. So I guess she will be out and doing some more relevant things that I was unaware of, but I also was unaware that she converted to Islam or wanted to, so who knows. Also, I wanted to share another social media story, and this is one that occurred in China. And basically, a groom in China is suing his friends over wedding day hazing that sent him to the hospital. This comes from a newlywed in China, and he's claiming that some of his would-be wedding guests took a pre-ceremony hazing session way too far. And the groom, his name is Ai Gungtao. And he's 24 years old. He was, and he is planning to sue his friends because they pranked him. They covered him in ink. They egged him, and they tied him to an electrical pole and beat him with bamboo acts, which this man I claims landed him in a hospital after he was struck by a car while fleeing the hazing. So his friends, or friends in quotes, did these things to him as like a pre-wedding hazing. And then he tried to escape the hazing by fleeing away, but he like fleed onto a highway and got hit by a car. And he apparently, like, his friends chased him after he tried to escape, and he couldn't see very well because he was covered all over with ink. So I guess it like got into his eyes and stuff, so he couldn't see where he was going. He also claims that now, the motorist, the one who hit him, that motorist's insurance company is demanding approximately like $4,400, because the police considered I at fault for the car accident. So the man who got hit, they are considering it his fault because he ran onto the highway probably. And so now he has to pay the insurance for this car that hit him. And he's saying that because the insurance company is suing him, he has to sue his friends basically to get the money. And I don't know. This is so sad. And I feel really bad for him. It's just sad. The man who was hit, suffered a skull fracture after being hit by the car, among other injuries, and he was hospitalized for weeks, apparently. The friends who hazed him have raised 6,000 yuan, or about $875, to help cover the medical expenses. But his aunt said in November that the friends have admitted their guilt in causing the accident, but still, since then, I has hired a lawyer. Also, the wedding ceremony was called off because of the incident, but I and his wife were already legally married before the ceremony. Also of interest, the tradition of hazing a groom on his wedding day still exists in part of China, and the practice dates back to a time when arranged marriages were more common, and the hazing served as a way to relieve anxiety and introduce the bride and to the groom. The tradition also emerged as a way to apparently force out evil spirits before the union. And also, the Chinese Ministry of Civil Affairs has announced in December that it has intentions to crack down on lavish weddings that go against the quote-unquote Chinese socialist values. Authorities are also said to be looking into like the more severe hazing rituals, and it sounds like they probably want to crack down on those too. So I think it's pretty interesting. I did not know about the hazing rituals, but I'm not surprised that China wants to crack down on the extremely lavish weddings that happen, and I wouldn't be surprised if hazing gets roped into the crackdowns on these weddings. So I don't know. It's interesting. I feel really bad for this man. That's a terrible thing to happen before your wedding day. And I also kind of feel bad for his friends who did not mean to do that to him, probably feel really bad and are now being sued. We'll see where that goes. If I hear any updates, I will bring them all to you guys. So thank you so much for listening, and I hope you tune in to our next social media news episode.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.